This letter serves as a connection between an NFL player and a Marine who died a world away. It puts a face on a set of initials that will don the Panthers' helmets during Monday night's game. Marine Corporal Christopher Ebert's twin brother Brian wrote the letter with hopes that we would understand how much Chris meant to his family.
We did not like Santa Claus at all.
Yes, that was always my favorite picture. it's just hilarious.
The two had that special connection that most twins share.
You know, we're twins 6 minutes apart, but, you know, here we are freshman year of high school. I'm 5'3" and 93 pounds, and he's 6' and 180 pounds. He had to have my back on a lot of times. He can pick on me, I can pick on him, but nobody else better do it.
They fussed, just like any other brothers, but then when they got to be older teenagers, they were close as can be. They were fishing together all the time, getting into whatever. They were together all the time.
No matter what he was doing, he always had a smile on his face, that's always. For sure.
That's classic Chris right there.
Yep. 18 years old and graduating high school. We were invincible. We were on top of the world, closing a chapter in our lives and opening another.
Brian enlisted with his brother and went through basic training at the same time in Paris Island.
I was originally going to join the Army, and my brother Chris said, well, I'm joining the Marine Corps, and being twins and competitive and not wanting to be outdone, I said, I'm going to join the Marine Corps too.
And that was boot camp graduation.
Yeah. Boot camp. Yeah, y'all was fit then.
Yeah.
You turned some girls' heads.
Didn't I do that already?
They were never apart for more than a week up until after boot camp when they separated.
It was tough. The only way we could communicate at that time was by letter. The worry was definitely there. Not knowing if he's okay, not knowing where he's at. It definitely put a lot more stress on top of what we were already dealing with.
Brian survived a bomb that blew up his unit's truck in Fallujah, but was devastated by the news that came in September of 2004.
When we realized that both of our units were going to the same place, Fallujah, Iraq, we never got to see each other there. There were a couple times where we missed each other by mere minutes. I would go to the USO building to call home, and my parents would say, oh, Chris just called like 10 minutes ago. It was really nerve-wracking knowing that we were so close, but still we couldn't see each other. The last time I saw him after that was in a casket. I was leaving the rifle range, heading back to the barracks, and my NCO got a phone call saying I needed to report to the battalion commander's office. What did I do now? I get to the battalion commander's office, knock on the door, come in, and the first thing I see is a chaplain with tears in his eyes. And the first thing I said, I didn't even think about it, was, please tell me my brother's okay. And I said, no, actually, he's not. And they told me everything that happened. The only thing I remember saying after that is, I want to come home. It was 6 days before he was scheduled to come back home. 6 days.
Brian and his father, Gale, visit Christopher's grave from time to time to reflect on someone who gave so much.
Guess it's time for bringing the flag back out.
Yeah.
I miss having the flag on there.
Yeah, we'll get some new arrangements and do everything all at once.
My husband, he struggles with it daily. His brothers are never far from his mind, never far from his thoughts. He tried to do something noble and risk his life to defend our country and ended up His brother had to pay the ultimate price.
Just making sure everyone knows that freedom isn't free, that it comes at the highest cost. These servicemen write a check in the amount of their lives and are willing to cash that check if necessary. Their patriotism goes unmatched and will never be forgotten.
All I can say about Chris is that he always looked on the brighter side of things. He did not accept no for an answer. He was tough as nails. No matter how hard he got knocked down, he would get up and he would fight. He did not quit. Ever.
It helps to know that through the NFL's Fallen Soldier program, others will learn about their family's sacrifice.
When I heard that the Panthers players want to physically read the bios of who they're representing, it shows their level of commitment and love for this ceremony and how much it means to them. It might just be a CE to some people, but to us, it is so much more than that. And it is such a great honor to be able to see that. Thank you is all I can say.
I'm honored to have his initials on my helmet. Chris had represented all of us Americans when he went over to fight in Fallujah. I think this is a great way to let the families know that they're not forgotten.
I guess you could say a letter goes a long way.
Corporal Chris Ebert was born on February 8, 1983 in Portsmouth, Virginia. Corporal Ebert was a part of the first battle of Fallujah in 2004. Chris' unit was scheduled to leave Iraq on September 23, 2004. When 6 days prior to shipping out, his vehicle was hit by an improvised explosive device and he was killed. Growing up, Chris was always someone everyone looked up to. He was the type of person that could be friends with anyone and always find a way to make people smile. He was very loving and very selfless. He always put other people before himself. His patriotism and the love for his family and his country went unmatched. He never knew the words, I can't, or I'm tired, or I quit. Though Chris is gone, he'll never be forgotten.
It was written in the earth below that this time would come and I'd have to go. It was signified in the sky above that the winds of fire would consume our love. I would see you on that distant shore where the winds of fire will